Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to our first edition of the Screen Geeks Midweek Film Snob.
That's right. If you're a film snob like I am, you're going to love this little thing.
I totally want to get like some Masterpiece Theater music or something to in front of that. Here's the point of this whole thing. You all know the real film geeks, the real film snobs, I should say, who are like, you haven't seen The Seven Samurai? Ha ha ha, I mock you, and then walk away.
Exactly.
We're going to take some of those films and actually talk about them. But, you know, it's only going to be about 10 minutes or so.
Yes.
Which is why they're a good movie.
And this is a chance for people who are like, okay, you're sick of another 2.5 hour Michael Bay blow 'em up fest or some crap that your friends recommended to you. Like, oh my gosh, that was worse than I imagined. Well, this is the antidote. We're going to help you not only become smarter in your film smarts, but give you choices that you didn't know you even had before. And you're going to find that the further back you go, there's some lot of great films that you're going to love that you never even heard of.
And you're also going to find a lot of these coming that are available in the Criterion Collection.
Yes. Yes. So we're going to be complete Criterion hoes.
So. Yes. Hey, they do good stuff. So this week, we are taking what is probably not Preston Sturges' most well-known film, but a good one nonetheless, Unfaithfully Yours.
A great film. Unfortunately, I've only seen the remake of prior to just recently, the remake that was done in the early 80s with Dudley Moore and Nastassja Kinski. Not a classic, not a great movie, and certainly a movie that, speaking of remakes, a film that really, I think, put a really bad mark on the original.
And yeah, because originally I was like, let's do this movie, and you're like, really?
Dudley Moore, really? You want to talk about Unfaithfully Yours?
Please? Yeah. So, okay, so here's the film. Here's essentially the breakdown of it. Rex Harrison is the actor. He plays the main character of Sir Alfred Decatur. He is a composer, a famous composer, and he is convinced that his wife is cheating on him, being very unfaithful. And so how does he deal with this? While he's conducting during the practice session, sometimes while he's at work actually doing an actual symphony, to the piece of classical music, he fantasizes about ways to kill his wife and her lover.
This is a wicked black comedy.
If it sounds messed up, it is.
It is, and for a movie that was made so long ago, I couldn't believe, like, this is like watching an Orson Welles film. Like, the technique and the chances that he took are so ahead of its time.
It came out in 1948.
It's breathtaking. It's really breathtaking to see some of the stuff they did here. All the shots of, like, how he's conducting, and the camera goes in for a close-up of his eye, and you basically see his inner working, how he's fantasizing. I mean, it's terrific.
And if you read any kind of synopsis on it, this won't be a spoiler, so I'll just go ahead and say it now. At the end, he's so convinced that his wife is actually cheating, he decides to follow through on his fantasies.
Right.
And zaniness ensues. That's the craziest thing.
Yeah, it's really funny. This is Rex Harrison, who played, of course, Dr. Doolittle in the original Dr. Doolittle films.
Yes.
And Rex Harrison is wonderful in this film.
What I love is the fact that the classical pieces are beautiful. I mean, they're very well done. They really do become another character in the film. And his ways of offing his wife and her lover become so intricate and so glorious, you know, if they were pulled off. You know, you have Mr. Burns. Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, just these great intricate plot details, and when he tries to actually do them, just not quite so good. It kind of turns into a Three Stooges movie at that point.
Oh, absolutely. There's some. This is just a great farce, and yet it's also really sick. Like I was telling you, like, this is the kind of movie I expect to see Danny DeVito making, not Preston Sturges.
Absolutely, because Preston Sturges is like the king of like the screwballs in romantic comedy. I mean, Sullivan's Travels is, you know, has far more comedic value in it. You look at the tonally between the two, this is such a darker film. I mean, I'm really kind of surprised this got past the censorship board so long ago.
Absolutely. It's got a real edge. There's a Russian roulette scene that I love that I was actually like, my gosh, that's pretty graphic for a movie that made in 1948.
Yeah, you don't see like brains splattering or anything. But
still, it's a lot for a movie that, you know, this is, you know, prior to Peckinpah and everybody else. Yeah.
Yes.
The film reminded me a lot tonally of like later Coen brother movies, specifically the comedies like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I was going to say Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That actually is a really good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, because certainly, I mean, not only is this film like totally ahead of its time, but you could see like other filmmakers, I'm sure, that have been you know, influenced by this film.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's very clear that the Coen brothers have been influenced by Preston Sturges, because next week we'll be talking about Sullivan's Travels and how they fit into that.
Absolutely.
Grand scheme of things. But wow. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that.
You know, I would say that for those of you, and I would even include myself in here, like, honestly, we're going to be talking about Sullivan's Travels really soon. I've been admitting to Dave. It's Dave's favorite movie, and I saw it in grade school, and I don't even remember it. For those of you who just want to get a taste of Preston Sturges, I would say start with Unfaithfully Yours. It's a solid movie. It's a great movie.
It's very accessible. I've only seen three of his films, but this is definitely the number two for me. I mean, you know, Lady Eve is a little bit less accessible, I thought.
And it's definitely one of the more popular ones, of course. And yet, I would still say go with this one. It's a great
It's amazingly solid. I mean, you can buy it on Amazon for, like, I think, like $20 too. I mean, it's one of the lower-end Criterions, which is always a good thing. It's got a ton of cool features on it, and...
Yeah, and yet lower end Criterion, that's still better than the recent Matchpoint DVD with nothing on it. So yeah.
Yes. So all right. Well, this is a little bit shorter than when we were expecting, but we're just talking about films. I mean, when we start getting into to some Kurosawa and some Lean and some Godard, and that's when we're gonna like make our brains hurt.
Yeah.
So this is a fluff movie.
This is a warm up. Your brains will hurt. We promise.
Yes. This really is a fluff movie overall, but it's so good, and it really is a classic that no one has ever seen.
This is stuff where if you're a filmmaker, you can look at it and see some of the techniques that he used. Just really, really simple use of close up and style to convey so much. I swear, this is like a little mini masterpiece of a movie.
Yes. So. Yes, sorry, it's a little bit shorter than we expected, but hey, we're blowing some time, and we're just kind of trying to broaden people's film horizons. Where I got this idea originally was our good friend Nate. He's going to school in Denver for a film, and we had a weekend while you guys were at Comic-Con, and we just started watching old movies and just broadening horizons. And so this is, we'll see how this goes. If people like it, we'll do them forever. So, cool. All right, well, so catch us next week for our next episode of Screen Geeks, but until then, this is Dave.
And Barry.
Take it easy.